Help. Yeah, we need help. Fill them out. Welcome, pastors. Great to have you with us this morning. I also have a special guest with me today. When 20 some odd years ago, when Chris and I went down to California to candidate for the pastor position, Tulare First Church of God, we were met by an outstanding couple by the name of Ed and Sandy Matheny. And they opened up their home, they fed us, they gave us their bed to sleep in that night, and they have become, since that day, some of our closest friends. She's my California mom, so it's great to have Sandy Matheny here with us today. Ed, unfortunately, passed away not too long ago. We miss him greatly, but he's probably here in spirit saying, "Come on, Jerry, preach it." So today, we're going to continue in the, before I continue, in the book of Matthew, I don't want to be the one of the nine that failed to say thank you. I remember last week, I was all ready to say thank you for the gift that you gave to the pastors and myself for pastor appreciation. And so I want to acknowledge, thank you so much for your gifts. Those of you who gave individually, those of you who gave as a church, what a blessing. Thank you so much for your care, for your love, for your prayers, for your encouragement, for all the things that you give to us, not just last Sunday, but or two Sundays ago, but all Sundays. So thank you so much. All right, now we're going to do it. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 13 through 29 today. I've been telling my message this morning, The Road Less Traveled. And today we continue in our series of messages in the book of Matthew, and we've actually reached the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has had a lot to say to us, right, about how to live our lives, and he gives an incredibly challenging statement as he starts his conclusion. In Matthew 7, 13 through 14, he says this, "Enter through the narrow gates, for wide is a gate and broad is a road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." You know, oftentimes in the church, we view the wide road as a path taken by those choosing to ignore Jesus' offer of grace, those who arrogantly thumb their nose at Jesus and his offer for salvation. And then consequently, we interpret the narrow road as simply believing in God, asking for his forgiveness, and then, you know, throwing a little religion on top of things like church attendance and Bible reading and living a good life, which we interpret as living better than the person sitting next to me. So turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, I'm living better than you today." Okay, don't say that unless you mean it. And so the question is that really what Jesus meant? Is that how Jesus interpreted the narrow and the wide road? And if we, you know, it's easy for us to think that way if we take Jesus' message out of context. But remember, Jesus, when he came on the scene, he reminded us of this thing. He reminded us that not all roads lead to the same place. In his message, Jesus continued to make bold statements. He said, "You have heard it said, but I say," challenging them to do more than what the law had said, to take it beyond what they were required to do into a heart issue. Jesus made bold statements about who is truly blessed, those who are persecuted, those who mourn, those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Jesus made statements about marriage, about divorce, about forgiveness, about proper relationships, about how we use money, about judgment, about worry. Jesus reminded us that discipleship is not just a religious experience, but it is a life experience. It incorporates all of life. You see, not only were many of Jesus' statements countercultural, but they were also counter to the religious thinking of the day. You see, the Jewish Pharisees thought that keeping the law was what was required. Just do that and you're on the narrow road. You're on the right road. But Jesus burst on the scene and he said, it's not simply about keeping the rules, but it's about a heart. It's about having a heart for Jesus, having a heart for our neighbor. It's about relationship with the Father. You see, for Jesus, the broad road was religious adherence to rules and regulations without any change in our heart. For Jesus, the narrow road was a radical commitment to discipleship that begins with a total inner change. You know, we've talked about the fact that the starting point, Jesus said we have to repent and believe. And repentance is simply changing our mind, turning our minds to align ourselves with Jesus and what he taught and how he lived. And believing, and oftentimes we think of believing as some sort of intellectual, you know, understanding of what's going on, but believing is actually putting into practice the things that we say we believe. You see, the type of change that is required is not just a commitment to hear and to understand what Jesus said, but it's a total commitment to knowing what Jesus knew and doing what Jesus did. That's the road that leads to life. You see, Jesus warns us that we can think we're on the right road, we can think we're on the narrow road or following the right directions, only to find later that we're on the wrong road. Matter of fact, Jesus was saying to us, not all directions are good directions. How many of you have ever used a GPS? Anybody ever use a GPS to find something? You know, I use GPS a lot when I travel. You know, I do a lot of traveling for the State Association. And I remember one time I was hungry when I got into a particular community, and so I decided I was going to go cheap and go to McDonald's, right? So I plugged in the nearest McDonald's, and, you know, the voice was so authoritative and told me, turn right here, go left here, go right here. You have arrived at your destination, only to find that I was sitting in an empty field. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Is it time to fast? I don't know. But oftentimes, you know, the GPS sounds so confident, right? It sounds like it knows where we're supposed to go. And sometimes when we get off the road, it says recalculating, right? And my GPS sounds so sweet. I programmed it to a female Australian voice. And, you know, she's got this, you know, very sweet voice, and I feel like I should follow her wherever she leads me. But the truth of the matter is sometimes she leads me astray. And Jesus is reminding us to beware of those who give you false directions, because they may sound correct, but in the end, they'll lead you to the wrong place. Jesus goes on to say this, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. It says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you'll recognize them. You know, I love the way Eugene Peterson captures this verse. I think he really gets at Jesus' understanding of what he was saying. It says this, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. He says, chances are they're out to rip you off some way or another. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. He goes on to say, a genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. Those diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned. Folks, it's easy to spot a false worldview, right? It's easy to spot a false worldview that doesn't align with Jesus. The challenge is weeding out those ideas that may sound Christian, but are not. I mean, we've heard in the news recently high-profile pastors who have fallen from grace, leaders like Mark Driscoll and Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, who's actually, that was quite a while ago. Recently, Chris and I watched a documentary, a commentary on Jerry Falwell Jr. and his fall from grace. And now Jerry Falwell Jr. never said that he was a pastor, but was living, but was saying one thing and living another life. You see, the ministries or these leaders may have started out with right motives. They may have even been preaching right and correct things. But the problem was, in the end, it became more about money and power and fame and all sorts of other things. By their fruits, you will know them. You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day didn't like Jesus' message because Jesus' message challenged their power and their control on the people. It challenged their security that they found in what they seemed to think as was the narrow road. And as I talked about last week, discipleship is all about mutual participation in the very life of the Trinity. It begins by determining to live our life for an audience. I was going to say for an audience of one, but really it's an audience of three in one, right? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living our life for that audience and nobody else. And we need to understand that our motives matter. Our motives ought to be what? Love. You know, you're probably tired of hearing me say that. But God is love. And Jesus was constantly telling us that our motives need to be love for God and love for others. It's really that simple, but it's really not that simple, right? You see, Paul reminds us that we can do all sorts of good things in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ. We can think we're on the narrow road, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says this, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of..." Where am I going here? Am I fat forward or backwards? I'm backwards. There we go. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love," what does it say there? It says, "I gain nothing." I'm in the wrong place again. What's going on here? Back one. Boom. I gain nothing. All right. You see, certainly we need to understand that living right and believing the right things is incredibly important. So don't hear me say, I can just live any way I want, right? As long as I love. The thing is, our motives behind our actions is what God truly judges. See, Jesus goes on to say this, and I'm reading from the message again. "Knowing the correct password, saying, 'Master, Master,' for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills." He says, "I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me saying, 'Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons, our super spiritual projects had everybody talking.' And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here." You see, folks, the problem is with our Western Christianity is that we measure the wrong things. Jesus said, "By your fruits you will know them." And we're talking, and oftentimes when we're talking about the church, oftentimes we measure success by bigger and better and louder and, you know, more visible and more important. But here's the thing. God measures the heart. He measures the fruit, the character of the leader, not simply the mass who follow. You see, Paul reminds us of what fruit grows when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 20-23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." He says, "Against such things there is no law." Friends, do you want to know? If you're truly walking the narrow road, ask yourself this: am I producing this kind of fruit? Is my life full of love? Is my life full of joy? Is there peace? Is there patience or forbearance? Am I kinder today than I was yesterday because I'm walking in step with the Holy Spirit? Is my life full of goodness and faithfulness and gentleness? Do I exhibit self-control? You see, Jesus was saying that if we truly want to be on the narrow road that leads to life, we got to be on the road that is marked by love, by our fruits. You'll know us. And then finally, Jesus reminds us that life in Him is not just about believing the right things. You see, we need to understand that a true gospel response is not simply about praying a prayer and checking off a few religious boxes. That's where it starts. It starts with seeking the Lord, by asking His forgiveness in our life, by aligning our thoughts and our minds and our attention and our theology behind who Jesus Christ is. But it has to go beyond that. You see, we need to understand that Jesus has to be our Savior, yes, but He must be our Lord as well. The Lord of everything we are, everything we think, everything we do. You see, Jesus concludes with an illustration that if we were part of Jody's Sunday school, we would recognize. It's a story about a builder. And he concludes his remarks by saying in verse 24, therefore, and we all know from English, when it says therefore, we wonder what it's there for, right? Therefore is everything else he said before. Therefore, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice. You can say that with me. And puts them into practice is like the wise men who built his house on the rock. The rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. He said, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I used to love that in Sunday school, crash. I don't know why I like the destruction, but anyway. You see, folks, the key to truly living on the narrow road is living a life of radical love for God and for neighbor. You say, Pastor, you sound like a broken record. But that's it. Living our life in radical love for God and our neighbor. It's not just hearing the words of Jesus, but it's putting them into practice. It's not just saying, I believe in the Trinity, or I believe in transubstantiation, or I believe in all these other religious and theological terms. It's not just getting it up in here in our head. It has to translate to here and move out in our hands and in our feet in love to our neighbor and those who need Jesus Christ. And you may say, but yes, Pastor, I am saved by grace. Yep, you are. We all are. We're saved by grace so that we can't boast about you know, I earned my salvation. No, we don't earn our salvation, but people who are saved by grace have radical doing in their lives. I love what Dallas Willard says. He says, grace is not opposed to effort, but it's opposed to earning. He says, earning and effort are not the same thing. Earning is an attitude, and grace is definitely opposed to that. But it is not opposed to effort. When we see a person who has been caught on fire by grace, you are apt to see someone of the most astonishing effort that you could ever imagine. You see, it's not enough just to be saved by grace. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. The narrow road requires us to live radically dependent on Holy Spirit, radically dependent on living a life that is captured and caught by Jesus Christ. You see, the gift of grace that Jesus offers involves a gift of a new heart, new desires, new longings. But the effort has to be formed by the way of Jesus and has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is a narrow road that we are on. Last week we talked about prayer and we talked about praying in Jesus' name. And we need to understand that when we move out in relationship to Jesus, the things we pray about change, right? The things we pray about, they change. We're not so caught up in our own success, but we're caught up in Jesus' kingdom coming and His will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. You see, this is a narrow road. We can't simply be hearers of the word. Jesus is saying, look, you can't just hear what I'm saying. You got to live what I'm saying with the right motives. And unfortunately, in our world today, the narrow road is truly the road less traveled. Because the road less traveled is a radical way of living that informs all of our lives. It informs how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we deal with our relationships, how we deal with anger and lust, and what we do with our marriages and our promises, how we pray and how we treat other people. Jesus was talking about all of those things, and He said, it's all well and good that you're hearing me in this sermon, but if you don't put it into practice, you're building your house on sand. And so here's a question for us all this morning, is which road are we on? Which road are we on? Are we truly on the narrow road that leads to life, the road that is marked by love, the road that is marked by love for God, for others, the road that is marked by fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and self-control? Or are we marked by the road, the wide road? That is a road that simply says, hey, as long as I'm, you know, as long as I've got God's grace and His forgiveness, I'm okay. I can do whatever I want. I can do it however I want. I can do it with the attitude that I want. You see, we need to understand that the narrow road, the road less traveled, is a road that requires us to daily, dare I say, minute by minute, submit our hearts, our lives, our motives, everything we are, and everything we have to Jesus Christ. I don't know how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if he prayed or just walked off the mountain, dropped his mic. I'm not sure exactly what he did, but this morning I want us to reflect and ask ourselves, what do we sense Holy Spirit saying to us about our walk with Him? Are we living for an audience of one? Are we truly walking the narrow road? Are we just taking the steps out of memory, out of obligation, out of, you know, because I've always done it this way? Or am I walking on the narrow road? The road that is marked by love and bearing much fruit. By our fruits, they'll know us. Is your life, again, more loving, more gracious, more joy-filled? I'm going to stop right there and let you think about that for a second. What do you sense Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? And the challenge this morning is a question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about what the Holy Spirit said to you? Maybe Holy Spirit said, well done, good and faithful servant. You're on the right road. You're on the right path. You're living a life of love. But maybe Holy Spirit challenged you with an attitude or an action or something in your life that needs to be changed. Don't just say, yeah, Lord, okay. Do it. Do it. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, as we walk through this very powerful and potent sermon over the last several weeks and months, Lord, we've heard about things, we've heard about your radical way of living. Lord, as you spoke to the crowd, you spoke to religious people and non-religious people, you spoke to Jews and non-Jews, and you shared with them that it's not just enough to keep the rules. It's not just enough to believe the right things. It's not just enough to walk a razor-thin line. It's also important to check our attitude and our motives. Father, you told us the way. You boiled the commandments down to two things, loving God and loving others. You told us by our fruits you'll know us. Lord, as I look at my own life, I see areas that I need to grow. Areas that I need to grow in having more joy in my life. More patience sometimes. More peace. Lord, thank you that we are saved by grace. But Lord, we're saved by grace so that we can then move out on the narrow road, move out in love. Lord, I pray that we be a church that together bears fruit not as the world would potentially see us bearing fruit, but bear fruit that our Heavenly Father would have us bear. Lord, help us to live radically loving lives toward each other and radically loving lives toward our neighborhood and radically loving lives toward our world, our brothers and sisters, and those who need to know you. Father, thank you for the challenge. And thank you that we don't have to do it by ourselves. That we have each other and we have Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to show us that narrow road. Lord, help us walk that road, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen and amen.